yesterday we began the sugya of eating matzah and erev Pesach. And we learned the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim. It says that in the afternoon, samach l'mincha, on erev Pesach, a person should not eat. And Tosfos was trying to figure out what shouldn't you eat. If it's referring to eating matzah, so the Yerushalmi tells us he can't eat matzah on all of erev Pesach. Now we need to understand what all of erev Pesach is, and that's what we're going to spend time on today. But just to review, we gave five approaches in the Rishonim. What is the link between eating matzah on erev Pesach and a person who's boal arusasa bebeis chama, a person who has relations with the girl he's engaged to prematurely? We said perhaps sources 4, 5, and 6, the Orzarua, the Or Chaim, the Levush emphasizes this, that it shows that a person has a lack of self-control. That he's a gluttonous person, he doesn't know how to wait for the right moments to do things, and perhaps that's the comparison. The person who eats matzah early is like a person who allows himself to be intimate with the girl who he's not yet fully married to. The second comparison, the Ritva says, that just like Erusin is the first step in formalizing the marriage, so too, matzah was the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people to form a deep bond with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We pointed out, it seems that there were mitzvahs before the mitzvah of matzah. Okay, we'll have to come back to that maybe when we get to the end of this year. There's a certain bond and a certain link that's established between a Jew and a Kadosh Baruch Hu when we eat matzah. The Abu Draham said in source 8, very simply, the connection between eating matzah early and Boal Arusas was that they both get malchus. They both receive lashes as a punishment. And again, we'll come back to what that means. A fourth approach, the Maharal, Zal Chazar from yesterday, the Maharal in the Gvuras Hashem, Perek Memches, in source 9, said that just like a person who's engaged is sort of caught in limbo, he's not yet fully married, and yet at the same time, this girl is off limits to him, right? So they're kind of trapped. She's not permitted to anyone else, and yet she's still not permitted to him. So too, that's the feeling on Erev Pesach. You can't eat bread, and you can't yet eat matzah. So you feel stuck somewhere in the middle. And that's only true by Pesach. You wouldn't have the same comparison by Sukkah. Right? We don't say that the house is off limits, and the Sukkah is also still off limits. No, you don't have that transition in the same way, like you have on Pesach. And lastly, the fifth approach, which we saw in the words of Ruah, the Shiboli Aleket, the Abu Draham, and Rav Wolfson elaborated on it, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Yesi VeYivsach, is that just like a kala needs seven brachos before she becomes permitted to her husband, so too the matzah also requires seven brachos in preparation to eat the matzah. How do you get seven brachos? The Rishonim are trying to cheshbon it out. Rav Wolfson says there's really nine brachos, but there's seven before you uncover the face of the kala, before you fully uncover the matzahs and recite the brachos of Hamotzi and Alach Hilas Matzah. So that's how Rav Wolfson solved that problem for us. Okay? Last thing we discussed is what exactly is the nature of refraining from eating matzah? Is it to create some type of heker? That there should be a noticeable distinction between the matzah that I was eating all year round for fun and the matzah that I'm eating on this night for a mitzvah? Is it to create a feeling of te'avon? That a person should have a hearty appetite for the matzah? Or perhaps the last thing we saw from the Baal HaManig, Rav Avram ben Natan, one of the great Rishonim, that perhaps there's an Isser Aseh, that you're in violation of a biblical principle if you eat matzah early. Because the Torah tells us, Be'erev tochlu matzos. Eat matzah, right? Be'erev, at night. And if a person eats matzah prematurely, so it's a violation of the mitzvah da'araisa of eat matzah at night. And then we said in the comparison, that means that a person who has relations with the girl he's engaged to prematurely would also seemingly be an Isser da'araisa, which is against Rav Rishonim. That midaraisa, once you're engaged, you are allowed to be intimate. Midarabanan, you're not allowed to. That's the Rambam, the Rashi, and many Rishonim. But the Ravid says that until you're fully married, there's an Isser da'araisa to have relations with the girl you're engaged to. Yes?
So say Ramani says you're over Sasebi.
That's correct. It's an Isser Aseh. We call it Isser Aseh. It's not a Bittel. Bittel Aseh means, we pointed out yesterday, that you had a mitzvah to do and you chose not to. If the night passes and you don't eat matzah, that's a Bittel Aseh. You failed to do what you were supposed to do. Here it's an Isser Aseh that you went out of your way, you did something, right, which was against the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Be'erev tochlu matzos, and you decided Bayom tochlu matzos. Okay? So that got us to source 17. Okay. As far as whether or not this is halacha l'maisa, the answer is for sure this is halacha l'maisa. But exactly how to apply the halacha is a big discussion. The Rif in source 17 quotes explicitly, Daf Tezayin Medalev in the Dape Rif in the back of the Gemara Pesachim. The Rif brings the Yerushalmi. Why does the Rif bring the Yerushalmi? He brings it because the Rif was writing halachos. And he wants us to know that halacha lemaisa, a person cannot eat matzah on Erev Pesach. But exactly when does that prohibition begin? At what point am I expected to stop eating the matzah? So to give us a little context, let's look at source 18 and 19. Midah raisa. Midah raisa. Until when is a person allowed to eat chametz on Erev Pesach?
Until the at the end of the seventh hour.
Okay, I have half the day. I have till midday, right, to eat chametz. Midah raisa. That's based. The pasuk says, "Ach b'yom harishon tashbisu." B'yom harishon tashbisu. On the first day of Pesach, get rid of chametz. It's a little late to be getting rid of chametz on the first day of Pesach. So b'yom harishon in that context means erev Pesach. And what does ach mean? Ach comes to divide the day. That for part of the day you have to get rid of chametz. So midaraisa, on the morning leading up to the Seder, right? Erev Pesach, you have half a day to continue eating chametz. The rabbis are concerned that if you're going to be munching on a bagel down to the wire, you're going to end up violating the Torah principle. So the Mishnah, in the first parak of Pesachim, in source 18, Machlokas Rei Meir Yehuda, how far do we scale back midarabanan the answer to eat chametz? Right, again, midaraisa, you can eat chametz half the day. Midrabanan Rabbi Meir Omer, Ochlin Kol Chamesh, we scale it back 1 hour. Instead of eating through the 6th hour, we eat only through the 5th hour. And then Sorfin B'Tchila Shesh, we begin to burn the chametz already by the beginning of the 6th hour. Rabbi Yehuda is more concerned that he scaled it back 2 hours. You can eat all four for the 4th hour. The 5th hour, chametz is not allowed to be eaten, but it's not Asur B'Hanna. That's what it means, Tolin Kol Chamesh. It's kind of left hanging. Which means if I want to feed it to my dog, not that a Jew should own a dog. I told you, I have a few piskei halacha, and that's one of them. So one of the few things I pass on, Jews should not own dogs.
Why?
Not for now. A Jew should own a dog. But if you own an animal, you can feed the animal chametz during that 5th hour. Okay? And then during the 6th hour, you burn it. How do we paskin like Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda? We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what the Bar Tanura writes. In the last part of source 19, Halacha Kreb Yehuda, and he explains where it's bolded. Even though midaraisa, you have the whole 6 hour to eat chametz, but the rabbis were nervous. Gazru rabbanan alei, dilma tau kesaver al shviyas shishishis. Maybe you'll get confused, and you'll think that it's still time to eat chametz when really the time has passed. Why did Rabbi Yehuda push it back even further? So the Bar Tanura explains, because if it's a cloudy day, you can be so confused that you think it's what? You can use the 5th hour for the 7th hour. Okay? So Yehuda is very machmir, but we have to be careful when it comes to chametz. Now, that's when it comes to eating chametz. When do we apply this rule of the Yerushalmi? You're not allowed to eat matzah. Yerushalmi says, anyone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach, it's a very great crime. So when is it a great crime? What's called Erev Pesach? Is the night of Erev Pesach called Erev Pesach? Is the morning of Erev Pesach called Erev Pesach? So if you look in source 20, the Baal HaMor, Rabbi Mizrachi HaLevi, he says as follows. He sees chametz and matzah being licked. And therefore he writes, when the Yerushalmi tells us you're not allowed to eat chametz, you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, that's not all of Erev Pesach. That's for part of Erev Pesach. When does it start? When do I have to stop eating matzah to not violate this rule of eating matzah prematurely? Says the Baal HaMor, source 20, Hani mili mishesh shosu lamala. The time that I have to stop eating chametz is the time from which I have to stop eating matzah. Aval ad sheish shosu mutter. Which means that if I want to eat a real piece of matzah, not matzah shira, real matzah, for breakfast on Erev Pesach, according to the Baal HaMor, you can do it. You have until midday to be munching on matzah. We ask for half a day of a buffer zone, right, between the achila of nighttime, the Erev Tov matzos, right, and the matzah that you're eating for fun. But he says it's not all of Erev Pesach that's off limits. It's only from Sheish Shavuos to the matzah. The time that chametz is no longer an option, midaraisa, that's when we start thinking about matzah. And at that point we say we don't want you to get the matzah prematurely. Let's leave some time. So from the time that the Isser Chomet starts Sheish Shavuos, that's when the Isser, right, the rabbinic Isser of eating matzah prematurely begins as well. We ask you to leave that time period until the Erev Tov Matzos, until the night don't eat matz. And that's what the Rush says as well, even perhaps more clearly in source 21. V'nirat the davka v'zman iser chametz ve'elach. From the time that chametz is no longer an option, and you start thinking matzah is an option, you say, well, it's not an option yet. We're transitioning to matzah, but we ask for a little bit of space to create a heker, to create te'avon, to not violate the Erev Tofu matzos. But you don't need to give up all of Erev Pesach. Morning of Erev Pesach, you want to have breakfast, matzah, real shmura matzah, handmade, shots or matzahs, no problem. Yes?
You know, if I'm just saying, it seems more applicable by the Rosh that it starts from the fifth hour.
Yeah.
He says, Machus or Chomis, and it's not necessarily talking about the Achilles.
Okay.
He's talking about
okay. Good. So there are even amongst the Rishonim, it's really amongst the Achronim, we discuss, right? I mean, if I'm going to take the Balaam or and Rosh's approach in general, that the Rishami doesn't mean all of Erev Pesach, right? So where am I going to draw that line? Am I going to draw it at the fourth, on the fifth, on the sixth? So that's an important point that you're raising. Lav nafka, that I'm going to follow the Raisa shir for when I stop eating chametz, maybe I'll follow the Rabbanan shir. Maybe I'll start from the Zman that it's usher to eat it, or it's usher to have hanaf from it. So you're right, we could discuss, and some do discuss, right, that maybe you can only have the very first part of the morning to eat matzah. But again, this whole approach of the Baal Ma'or and the Rush is allowing you to wake up on Erev Pesach morning and to eat real matzah. And it's not a violation of the Yerushalmi. Okay? I'll show you an interesting proof, and then I'll take your comment, from the Tosefta in Pesachim. Some point to the Tosefta in Pesachim, in source 21. Listen to the following case. What happens if Arba Asar Shecholios B'Shabbos? What if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos? Erev Pesach is Shabbos. The Seder starts Motzi Shabbos. Okay? So what are you going to eat for your Sudas Shabbos? There's a chiyuv to eat a suda. So on a regular Erev Pesach, if I want to just, you know, basically starve myself, no problem. But what about a Shabbos Erev Pesach? Then I have to eat. Says the Tosefta, Mevarin es hakol milifnei Shabbos. Get rid of all your chametz before Shabbos. The ofer lo matzah me'erev Shabbos. And prepare matzah to eat when?
On
Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach. So apparently, according to this Tosefta, now you could say, well, maybe matzah means matzah. Shira is not a matzah. It's matzah. So according to this Tosefta, a Jew can eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Not all of Erev Pesach. Again, part of the day, maybe yes, part of the day, no. Fourth hour, fifth hour, sixth hour, you can figure it out. But I can wake up on the morning of Erev Pesach and still eat matzah to make my Shabbos meal out of matzah, and I'm not in violation of the Yerushalmi's principle of jumping the gun by eating matzah prematurely.
Which you mean you
need
3 meals on Shabbos.
That's correct. So you have to figure out what to do about Shabbos. Maybe we'd have to move up Shabbos Shuras in that case. It's a good question what to do about Shabbos Shuras. Putting aside the question of this Yerushalmi, it's a good question what we do with Shabbos Shuras. Okay, we're going to come back. We will come back to that in a few moments. Yeah.
The Baal Ma'or is not concerned about having confusing the time about
the time of confusion. Oh, you're saying as far as like even the matzah could cross the line, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what Isaac's saying. Maybe we should pull it back a little bit. Okay, it's a good question. I guess because it's only the Rabbanan, right, as opposed to meaning the Isser of eating chametz at that point is already more serious. The Torah is telling you can't eat chametz at that point.
And
since it's only the Rabbanan, right, it's going to be a cloudy day, you're going to think you still have time to eat matzah, you're going to violate the Yerushalmi. That's already getting fancy.
Right.
That's a good question.
That time when the 6 hour hits, that's
correct.
That's what
chametz ends the rice and matzah begins, right. Sort of the rice. And that's the buffer zone that we create to fulfill the Yerushalmi. Okay, so that's the Rush. That is the Baal Ma'or, and support is drawn for this opinion from the Tosefta in the third parak of Pesachim. Okay, the Ramban understood differently. The Ramban wrote a sefer to the back of the Gemara alongside. Right, the Rif, it's called the Melchamas Hashem. And in that commentary, he defends often the Rif against the Baal Hamor, Rav Raphael Levi. Yeah? Say that? Okay? And the Melchamas Hashem says that's not the Pshat in the Yerushalmi. When the Yerushalmi says, you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach, don't tell me that means part of Erev Pesach. Yerushalmi says you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach, which means you cannot eat matzah on Erev Pesach. He quotes the Yerushalmi. He quotes the Yerushalmi in source 23. He quotes the Yerushalmi. Okay? And he brings, let's read a little inside. Amarak Posey, says the Ramban. Al davar zeh chazarti kan lichtov Yerushalmi. Kamoshu b'gemar shalom. I want to show you the whole text of the Yerushalmi to prove my point. The chayin gar sinan shah. Amar Reb Levi. Ha'ochal matzah. If a person eats matzah prematurely, v'chulu, it's a bad thing. It's like ba'al arusas. Tani, Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera. Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera said, bein chametz, bein matzah asur. Perish. Mishum dechsiv, lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Chametz has to be gone by the time that what? By the time I offer a Karban Pesach. Now, when is the time to offer a Karban Pesach? Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera says, you can offer the Karban Pesach from the morning of Erev Pesach. So says the Ramban, what do you see from here? Right? If the time for Chametz and Matzah is linked, Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera says, Bein Chametz, Bein Matzah, Aser. Seemingly, what it says, and this is the statement that follows the statement of you can't eat Matzah on Erev Pesach. And if Yehuda ben Misera holds, you can start bringing Karban Pesach from the morning. So it says, no, bad, put it all together. What do you see? You can't eat matzah all of Erev Pesach from the time you wake up in the morning. And that's what he writes where it's bolded. V'atah lamed mimena shekol hayom asur lechol matzah. If you remember, we saw in source 15, I glossed over it, but I mentioned yesterday, in the Meiri. The Meiri also, he said the Lashon, kol hayom. You can't eat matzah all of Erev Pesach. Don't tell me you can eat real matzah on the morning of Erev Pesach. No way. Kol hayom. Kol hayom you can't eat matzah. Sheperusho aser kol hayom. Now look what he writes in the last line. Then he writes something which we have to really think about. V'atam lezeh, in the last line where it's bolded. Shekevan shebir chametz b'layla. Meaning, there's a moment of eris, right? There's a moment of transition. When did we get engaged to the matzah? Again, we don't come to live with the matzah until you come to the Seder. You don't live ki'ish v'isha, right? Until you come to the Seder. You don't form an intimate bond with the matzah until you come to the Seder. But when did we first get engaged to the matzah? So you could say, well, you got engaged to the matzah when you burned the chametz, you got engaged to the matzah, right? When you stopped eating chametz. Says the Ramban, maybe you got engaged to the matzah when came into beer chametz belayla, since you already did bedikas chametz the night before, nasis lo matzah ka'arusa
be'schalav.
You got married, in this context it does, because saying belayla, right? You got married to the matzah the night before. Okay? So certainly by the time you wake up in the morning, can you eat matzah, says the Ramban? No way. There's no way you can eat matzah in the morning when you wake up because you're already engaged. And now the time to wait for Be'er of Tochlu Matzos has begun. Okay? This opinion of the Ramban is also found in the Kedushei Rabbeinu David, a very important work on Pesachim. You can't learn Maseches Pesachim without owning a volume of Kedushei Rabbeinu David. Now David Bonafed. Okay, it was printed in later years. Pesachim Dat Mem Testament Aleph says the same thing. That you can't eat matzah for all of Erev Pesach. Don't draw this distinction like the Rush and the Balaam Or are drawing. The Ran in source 24 argues on the Ramban and says, Lamaisa. The Ramban says, Lamaisa. He writes, the Ran writes in source 24, three lines from the end. Abalididon de lo mitzar lan chamet ele mechatzos ulamal midaraisa. The Ran says, again, midaraisa, chametz only becomes prohibited when? When am I fully engaged, says the Ran? You get engaged when the chametz is gone. Midaraisa, that's when? The sixth hour. So therefore, the Ran seems to favor the approach of the Balaam Or. Efshar the matzah, where it's bolded, Efshar the matzah nami lo mitzra, elami hais zimna ve'elach. The Ran challenges the Ramban. Okay, but the Tashbeitz in the Tshuva, source 25, defends the Ramban, and he feels the Ramban is correct, that the Yerushalmi really meant that all of Erev Pesach is off limits, and he quotes V'li Nira, where it's bolded, Kedivrei HaRif, V'Ramban, who just quoted the Yerushalmi, Rif quotes it plain, doesn't qualify it, doesn't give a specific time. The Ramban, who argues, based on the Yerushalmi, that it's the entire day, Shekol Hayom Hi Aser Me'omer HaShachar Ad HaLayim.
This is for matzah or for
chametz? Okay, matzah is aser. All of Erev Pesach. Yerushalmi, when it says you can't jump the gun on matzah, it meant all of Erev Pesach. Good, ask your question.
Why would a shachar?
Why not what?
Laila.
Oh. So I was waiting for someone to ask that. What was the Ramban Svara? When did you marry the matzah? When did you have Kedushin, Erisin with the matzah? You got married by Bedikas Chametz. So maybe I shouldn't even be eating matzah, real matzah, from when? From Erev Pesach, not Erev Pesach when I wake up in the morning, but the night of the 14th, from the time of Bedikas Chametz. Okay? It's not clear what the Ramban's sheet is. If you look in the Orchos Chaim in source 26, that's exactly his point. V'asru chacham lech la'erev Pesach mivav shoes l'mala, aval kodem vav mutter. V'kach chosav haraz zal. Who's haraz? That's the Baal HaMor. Rav Zrachya Halevi. The Raz is Rav Zrachya Halevi. That's the Baal HaMor. In the Rosh, who say 6 hours. Okay? The Eino Loka El Mivav Shoes l'mala. V'yesh omrim sha'asur kol ayom yudalit v'halayla imo. Who's that Yesh Omer possibly?
Ramban.
Ramban is the one who tells us that you got engaged to the matzah from when? From the time you did B'dikas Chametz. So why should the night be different than the day? Again, the Tashbeit says explicitly in Source 25 that the Ramban holds Amar HaShachar. But it's not so simple. The Aruch HaShachar says Yesh Omer, that once I have begun my relationship with getting rid of Chametz, I've made a commitment to matzah, I'm engaged to the matzah, and now we have Erisin, and I can't, at that point already, it would be considered premature to eat the matzah. We have a big machlokas rishonim brewing here. Okay, yes, Isaac.
Maybe it's a machlokas even within Ramban, whether it's beer from the night before, which is bedika, or beer, which is the beer, the straight from.
Right, so you're saying it's only once I've actively destroyed the Chametz.
So to say that the Ramban holds starting from the nighttime, that could be talking about when you do the B'dika, that's when you leave the Chametz, the Chametz. But if you say it from Omer HaShachar, maybe you could be talking about the
time you start burning the Chametz.
Yeah.
Okay, could be. It's not clear what Shitas Ramban is. Again, the Orach HaShachar is definitely clear. He says Yesh Omrim, that, but is he referring to the Ramban? The Ramban's Svara seems to be that it should start at night. Okay? Now, obviously, no discussion of any halachic matter is complete without studying the words of the Rambam, the Hilig Rambam, whose words were written with Ruach HaKodesh, as we all know and believe, and Imam Buna Shleila, that the words of the Rambam were written with Ruach HaKodesh. And the Rambam writes, in Ochos Chametzu Matzah, Perak Vav Alach Yud Beis, Asru Chacham Lechol Matzah B'Erev Pesach. Does the Rambam tell us what point of Erev Pesach? He doesn't. He doesn't say when on Erev Pesach you have to stop eating matzah. So that led the Magid Mishnah to believe in Source 28, you can read through the Rambam, the Rambam is not clear, it doesn't specifically say what time matzah becomes off-limits, but the Magid Mishnah writes where it's bolded in Source 28, Yesh Mishakosov, Dedaf Galachar Isser Chametz, Dehainu Eirisin de Matzah. Some say that it only becomes, and you only become engaged to the matzah when? Once Chametz is totally off-limits, so that's, again, the Baal HaMor, and that's the Rush. Says the Magid Mishnah, from the fact that the Rambam just says you can't eat matzah Erev Pesach, he doesn't say what specific time, the Pashtus is all of Erev Pesach. All of Erev Pesach. Does that mean even the night? Not clear, but certainly all of the morning of Pesach, the Magid Mishnah says that the Rambam would hold his off limits. So you have three shittos basically. What is the most lenient opinion? Who's the most lenient opinion? The Baal HaMor and the Rush, who say you can even wake up on the morning of Pesach, Erev Pesach, and have breakfast of real matzah. What's the most extreme opinion? The Orach HaShachar, maybe the Ramban, that already from B'dikas Chametz, the Yerushalmi takes effect that you can't eat the matzah. What's the middle approach? You can eat it at night, let's say, right? But already by the morning, the whole day of Erev Pesach, it's off limits. These are the three approaches. Now, how do you paskin Ashayla when you have a range of opinions? So you can say, I try to follow the majority opinion. Look to what Rove Rishonim hold. It seems that Rove Rishonim take the middle path on this. And B'derech Klal, it's important to always try to take the middle path. There's a sefer I want to introduce you to. It's called the Yad Malachi. What is the Yad Malachi? Yad Malachi is a very interesting, it's like an encyclopedic work. And part of what he does there is he puts together Klalei Shas and Klalei Psak. So in the section called Klalei HaTalmud, Klal Tuf Ayin Zayin, in Source 29, he says that a technique that a person should be aware of when it comes to paskening a shayla and understanding how to work through different shitas in the Rishonim, he calls it Milsa Mitziyasa. Milsa Mitziyasa, the middle path. Okay? Rav Adi Yosef sometimes quotes this Yad Malachi to explain how he paskens. You take the middle path. What's the middle path? What does that mean? Hecha deika shtei svaras chalukos min hakatzah el hakatzah. If you have, let's say like our case, you have three positions. You have the extremely lenient case, which says you can eat matzah up until the sixth hour. You have the extremely machmir case, which says you have to stop eating matzah already by night. You have the middle opinion that says You can still eat matzah at night, but by the morning you should stop eating matzah in preparation for Pesach. So if there's a svarish shlishis, he says, that's what? That's somewhere in the middle. Mumutzas beinayan yesh lifso kavaseh. He quotes Iran in Parak Yom Kippurim, Meseches Yoma. The Baal Ma'or has a similar comment in Meseches Sukkah. We try to take the middle road, especially since Moshe Rishonim take the middle road. And therefore, many feel that when it comes to this issue of matzah, halacha lemaisa, now we're transitioning into the realm of real halacha lemaisa, when should a person stop eating matzah? By the morning of Pesach. You can't have matzah for breakfast. You want to eat matzah the night before still? Me'ikar adin? No problem. Okay? That is, in fact, the psak that Rav Avadya Yosef brings on this exact shayla. He was asked in the Echav Adas, in source 30, Hayem mutar lechlo matzah b'leil arba asar b'nitzah. Can I eat matzah on the night of Erev Pesach? B'dikas chametz. Shuleil b'dikas chametz. Are you allowed to eat matzah? Again, the Orchas Chaim said you can't. The Ramban maybe said you can't. But that's an extreme position. Most we showed him take the middle road. So I cut out the whole tshuva for you. I cut out Rav Avadya's tshuva. Alanti tshuva, many my makomos. Bisikum, says Rav Avadya, Mutter lecho matzah b'leil arbasar b'nisan. Ve'ein la'asur achilas matzah ele b'yom arbasar b'lvad. When does the Yerushalmi's rule that you can't jump the gun on the matzah take place? It kicks in, says Rav Avadya. When? From the morning of Erev Pesach. From the morning of Erev Pesach. The night before, you still want to eat matzah? No problem. No one's going to give you lashes for that. No one's going to say that you're violating. You're jumping the gun. You're not married yet at that point. Halacha lemaisa, you're only married to the matzah in the morning, when you wake up, on the morning of Erev Pesach. Okay, and Rav Avadya concludes, V'chol shekein, shemutar lecho matzah, kodem yom arba asar b'nisan. Certainly before that, halacha lemaisa, you're allowed to eat the matzah. And it's not considered a violation of this Yerushalmi. Okay? So if you're a Sephardi Jew, and we have some in the room, so then you should certainly feel comfortable following this psak of Chacham Avadya Yosef, Sefer Tzadik, and Chavash Levracha, that on the night of Pesach, you certainly can still eat matzah. Okay? However, I want you to be aware that it's not so simple. It's not so simple. And one of the things that holds a lot of people back from eating matzah already the night before is a comment of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, it's really a diuk in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham in source 31, Chevra, take a look. In source 31, the Magen Avraham says, he discusses whether or not a person can eat certain types of fluffy matzah. Okay? It's a question, is that considered real matzah or not? Better to avoid it. But then he says, Mashma, dibiyom yur gil mutar lecha matzah. On the 13th, you're allowed to eat fluffy matzah. No problem. On the 13th, what's that imply, perhaps? That the entire 14th, I have to avoid eating matzah. The entire 14th, including the night of Bedikas Chametz, I have to, Rav Avadya is passing that I'm allowed to eat chametz, I'm allowed to eat matzah on the night of the 14th. This Magen Avraham perhaps implies that I'm only allowed to eat matzah on the 13th, but the entire 14th, including its night, I would not be allowed to eat matzah. And that's a diuk that the Prima Gadim makes in source 32. The Prima Gadim says, from the fact, where it's bolded, from the fact that the Magen Avraham says, B'yud gimel mutter, even though there are those who say, Ayin el yaraba, that b'leil arba asar it's shari, even though there are those who say that on the night of the 14th is permitted, but perhaps the Magen Avraham is implying that on the night of Bedikas Chametz already the matzah is awesome. That's against the psak of Avadya Yosef. So do I need to be concerned? Do I need to be concerned for this Magen Avraham? Should I be nervous on the night of Bedikas Chametz? If I eat my matzah, is that considered being Baal or Sosso Beis Chamav? Would a person get lashes for such a thing? So even though Rav Avadya Paskin this way, I just want to conclude, by the way, the Prima Gadim brings from the Yeshayahu Knesset HaGadola that some of a minhag not to eat matzah already from the beginning of Chodesh Nisan. So if you're wondering where that minhag comes from, it's already found in the Sefer, in the Knesset HaGadola, the Yeshayahu Knesset HaGadola. The minhag in Constantinople, right? It was that people would not eat matzah already from Rosh Chodesh. Okay, and other Sifrei minhagim bring that in the Orchos Chaim from Spinka. It brings such a minhag. So some have a minhag already to create a real big buffer zone of a couple of weeks between the matzah that you're going to eat at the Seder and the matzah that you're eating just for Rishus. Okay, but again, Rav Avad Yosef says, no, the only buffer zone is you can't eat matzah on the morning of Erev Pesach. The night of Erev Pesach, no problem. Magen Avraham implies even the night's a problem. Okay, I want to read together. I know it's a little lengthy. We're not going to read Rav Moshe's Tshuva inside in Source 34, but I do want to read a little bit of the Ben Ish Chai's Tshuva in Source 33. Because again, Rav Avadia's Psak is in fact against the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai felt that perhaps we should be Machmir. And you can see at the very end of the Tshuva, end of Source 33, the second to last line, he says, Ein Lahakel. We should not be lenient about the night that precedes Pesach. Okay, the night of Erev Pesach, he thinks, is also off limits. But how does he come to that? So let's read a little bit inside in Source 33. Val Sheila Abet. This is in the Shalas and Chubas Rav Palim of the Ben Ish Chai. Val Sheila Abet. The second thing that you asked. Sherotza lecho matzah b'leil yoda. Can I eat matzah on the night of Bedikas Chametz? He named Divrei HaMagen Avraham. Muchach degam leil yudalei b'chlal Yisrael. It's implied from the Magen Avraham that you cannot. Now, Aharav Chok Yaakov, the Chok Yaakov, which we pointed out yesterday, is important work on the laws of Pesach. Rav Reisher, in the Chok Yaakov, Kosav Deleil Yudalei's Mutter, and he brings a lot of sources to prove that. V'chein Mavur B'haran, Lehedya, V'chein Mashmos HaYerushalmi, V'haposkim, V'habach, V'el Yezuta, V'el Yerava, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Tashbetz, right, who we saw explain the Ramban only from Amar HaShachar. So he brings a whole range of opinions to allow one to eat matzah on the night of the 14th. Aval Orchas Chaim, Oskuf Yadalid, writes that the night and the day are the same, and you can't, and the Magen Avraham implies this way, and some say that the Ramban meant this way, because from the time you do Bedikas Chametz, what? What's the Svara? From the time you do Bedikas Chametz, you've already had Erusin with the matzah. So he says, there are those opinions that say that you should avoid eating matzah on the night. I can show you a range of opinions, he says, that hold that it's permissible, but I'm not so confident. There are the Magen Avraham, and you have others, perhaps the Ramban, and the Orchas Chaim, you have others that say that even the night should be included. Now, what I like about this shiur from the Ben Ish Chai, besides the fact that he just chazed the whole shiur in one paragraph, and gave us all the marikos that we saw over the course of the last hour and a half of shiur, look what he writes in the second paragraph. V'tzarech lahavim. I don't understand. Let's just ask a very, what the world would call a balabatish question. I don't like that term, because being a balabas is not a derogatory term. But it's what the world would call a balabatish question. Why should there be a difference between the day and the night? What's this, if the Yerush, again, coming back to the simple words of the Yerushalmi in the 10th parak of Pesachim, that anyone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach is jumping the gun. So why should there be a difference between the night of Erev Pesach and the day of Erev Pesach? Kipshuta. Why should I draw a distinction between the night and the day? Ma tam yesh bazeh lahotzi alayla. Says the Ben Ish Chai. Why should the night be different than the day? Me'achar de medami lo lekala. If it's compared to the kala, right? Who he's waiting to get married to. De'ele anos vimena ela achar zayin brachos. Until you have sheva brachos, the kala is off limits. The night should be no different than the day. Bishlama yom yud gimel. I understand that we have to draw the line somewhere. And I'm not going to say, right, before you're engaged, it's a different thing. The relationship with the matzah is a different thing. Yom yud gimel is merachek tuva maleil tezvav. I understand. V'avi le'kishar yemos hashana deles lemba. Yud gimel is like any other day of the year. I understand. Aval leil yudavit, hu samach lezman achiyav. You're within 24 hours of the time you're actually going to eat the matzah. Delayl v'yom, Yom Achad Inon. Night and day in Jewish law are one unit. Vishneim Nikram Yom Dirsiv Vayi Erev Vayi Voker Yom Achad. It's one thing. So why should I draw this distinction between the night of Erev Pesach and the day of Erev Pesach? Vinira Desfira Lei Lo Chashiv Samuch Elashir Ona Achas O Yom O Laila. Look what the Ben Ish Chai says. The buffer zone that we're looking to create is a single time period. An ona, a single time period, a day or a night. It's enough to just not eat the matzah by the day. The night before is already too far removed. Why should that be? Kasher nimtza gabei nida. Now, most of the chaver probably doesn't know how this works yet, because you haven't taken chasm classes yet. But in the right time, you'll learn that one of the rules when it comes to nida, Chazal say, Chayav lifrosh rimena ona achas kodem besta. Which means that if a woman has a regular cycle, and she knows that she gets her period every 30 days, and her body is so regulated to it, it's almost very, very precise. So now, the time period immediately before she gets her period, a husband and wife, even though she hasn't gotten her period, she's still mutter, a husband and wife are not allowed to be together. Why? Because it's within the time frame that she normally becomes a nida, and we're worried that, God forbid, she could become a nida at the time that they're being intimate together. So we create, again, a single time period, an ona achas, a single buffer zone, to protect this very, very delicate and important halacha. So says the Ben Ish Chai, it's the same thing here by the matzah. We're not going to aser a double time period, a day and a night. We're going to model it after the separation between husband and wife. Ona achas, a single time period, and that'll be sufficient. Okay, so he's explaining again the opinion that says it's enough to just refrain from matzah on the morning of Pesach. But again, he personally believes that the night should also be included. Why should it not be included? And he writes in the last paragraph, despite that the Ramban and the Orchos Chaim and others imply that maybe the night should be included, the reason that you should have an appetite for the matzah, you can't eat matzah the night before and then enjoy the matzah the same way one night later. You're 24 hours away from Be'erev Tochlu Matzos. The appetite for the matzah is going to be ruined by eating the matzah within a 24-hour period. And he goes on and he proves that in a very fascinating way. I'm not going to read it inside, but he proves it from the fact that even the chazeret, even the lettuce that a person is going to eat at the Seder, there's a halacha that you shouldn't eat too much of it the first night by the Seder, so that you'll have an appetite for it by the second night of the Seder. Interesting. So he says, all the more so. If there's a sensitivity not to get too used to something, if you're going to need to enjoy it in a 24-hour period, right, 24 hours from now, so all the more so with the matzah. When it comes to the matzah, I can't eat matzah on the night of the Dikas Chametz and then enjoy it the same way the next night. And therefore concludes the Ben Ish Chai, Ein lahakel. I feel that even though there's many opinions that allow one to eat, and a Rav Avya argued on this Ben Ish Chai, paskin against it, but the Ben Ish Chai felt that to maintain the love and excitement for the matzah, a person cannot eat matzah already from the night of Erev Pesach by Bedikas Chametz. Okay? Rav Moshe Feinstein held the same way. In 1954, Rav Moshe in a tshuva in source 34, I'm not going to read it inside, but Rav Moshe was asked what to do about Shabbos that falls out on Erev Pesach. If I don't want, I want to get rid of all my chametz. So what am I supposed to eat for my meals? What am I supposed to eat for the meals? So Rav Moshe says, you should use matzah ashira. Can I use real matzah for my nighttime meal? For the Friday night meal? Right? And Rav Moshe says, I'm nervous about this bug in Avram. I'm nervous about this opinion perhaps with the Ramban. And Rav Moshe says, therefore it's better to use matzah ashira and to be choshesh for this, again, this stringency of eating matzah on Leil Yodah. Okay? So again, it's a big machlokas. Halacha l'maisa, what should one do? Certainly if you're a Svardi and you normally follow Chacham Avadi Yosef's Psak Halacha, then you can eat matzah on the night before Pesach. If you're an Ashkenazi and you live in America, perhaps you should be choshesh for this opinion of Moshe. I think either way, honestly, I don't think any of us should or are going to have such a strong desire to eat matzah the night before Pesach. Right? Obviously, b'shas al-chak, it's a halachic shiloh. If I don't have food, what do I eat? But none of us, Baruch Hashem, are in such a situation where it's matzah or nothing. And therefore, I think we should probably take the more stringent approach, especially since the Ben Ish Chai feels that it's going to ruin the chavivas ha-mitzvah, the te'avon, if a person eats matzah within 24 hours of the real eating of the matzah. And therefore, it's probably best avoided. In sources 35 through 39, I'm going to skip over them now, I'm not going to read any of them inside, all those opinions, the Eliezuta, the Eli Rabba, the Chai Adam, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, they all allow you to eat matzah at night. And again, there's a range of positions that Rav Avadia built himself off of to paskin the way that he did against the Ben Ish Chai and against Rav Moshe. But again, those of us who can avoid eating matzah the entire Erev Pesach, including the night, halavai, we should be mekayim the words of the Magen Avraham and the Orchos Chaim and perhaps the opinion of the Ramban. Okay, for the last few minutes of the shiur, I want to talk about one other point. And that is, let's go to source 40, let's come back to the Rambam, and let's see something very beautiful. What was the link between eating matzah prematurely and having relations with one's arusa prematurely. There's all five opinions. But the Abudraham said the basic link is that they both get lashes. You get lashes. We penalize a person for violating this din derabanan if he does in fact violate this din derabanan. Says the Rambam, how many lashes do we give such a person? Look what the Rambam writes. It's astounding. Asru chacham lecho matzah b'erev Pesach chedesh yeheker la'achilas b'erev. Umi sha'achol matzah b'erev Pesach. Makin oso makas mardus achetetze nafsho. If he won't stop eating the matzah, we will give him lashes to the point that we kill him. Now, let's talk about makas mardus. That's what I want to introduce for the last few minutes of shiur. What is makas mardus? It's makas that a person receives for violating a rabbinic principle. So this Yerushalmi, that you shouldn't jump the gun on the matzah, is a rabbinic principle. We saw the Sefer HaManik says perhaps it's an Isser Aseh. It's a premature violation of a Torah prohibition of the Erev Tochel Matzos. But normally we assume it's an Isser Derabanan. If you violate it and you eat matzah, in the time period that the Yerushalmi says don't eat matzah, you are going to receive lashes. Why is it called Makas Mardus? Where does the term come from?
Rebellion on the
rent. So, you'll say it's Milashon Mered, which means to rebel. You rebelled against the rabbis. Okay? That's what the Ran brings at the end of Maseches Makos in the name of the Gaonim. That Mardus is Milashon Mered. Rashi, in two places, in Yevamos Nun Beis, in Shabbos Mem Amud Beis, says that Makas Mardus is Milashon Ridui. Ridui means to break him down, to beat him down. Okay? So it's interesting, it should just be aware, what does the word Makas Mardus actually mean? Is it Milashon Mered? Since he rebelled, we're going to penalize him? Or is it Milashon Ridui, that we're going to chop him down through giving these lashes? Okay? Why do we give Makas Mardus? I think it's very obvious to us. If a person is violating a Dindur Abanan, right? Lemigdor Milsa, that's the language that the Rashbash uses in the Tshuva to explain why we give Makas Mardus, in order to enforce. If I just make Dinam Dur Abanan, and you can violate them without any consequence, so it's going to be a joke. So in order to Lemigdor Milsa, to build up the concept that these Makas are to be taken seriously, right? Or that this Dindur Abanan should be taken seriously, so we give what's called Makas Mardus, in order to cause him to break, Ridoi, he should break, he should bend himself to the opinion of the rabbis, or maybe it's Milashon Mered, for an act of rebellion, he deserves to be punished. Okay, but this is the concept of Makas Mardus. I want to just point out one other interesting thing about Makas Mardus, and that is, when you get Makas Mardus, are you being penalized because of a specific violation? Or is it more of a general violation of not listening to the rabbis? What does that remind you of? I'm mentioning this Ragachara for a specific reason. It reminds you of what we learned from Rav Shimon Shkop, right? When you violate the principle of Safek Daraisa L'chumra, is that an aspect of whatever mitzvah it's connected to? Or it's a separate prohibition? So the Ragachara wonders the same thing about Makas Mardus. If you eat matzah prematurely, so are you getting lashes because of is that a avera related to matzah? Or is that a separate prohibition related to what? It's an iser klali, a more general prohibition of not listening to the rabbis. Okay? What the nafkaminas are is something the Ragachara discusses in his writings. But coming back to our Rambam, you give him lashes, achetetze nafsho. You're going to kill this guy? How many lashes does a person get from Makas Mardus?
39.
Is there a limit? Is it modeled after the 39 of the Torah?
You mentioned how you handle them.
So there are five shitos in the Rishonim. Four of them are quoted by the Ritva in Ksubas. Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis. Okay? I want to tell you the five shitos in Makas Mardus. Because if we understand how Makas Mardus works, we'll be able to come to the Pnimius HaTorah of what we've been trying to work on. Not only the Halacha in this year. We did a lot in halacha, but to try to understand in a deep way what a Jew's connection to matzahs. The Rambam says you're going to beat him up over this. Achetetze nafsho. It's such a terrible offense. Now again, this is the Rambam's shita in general when it comes to Makas Mardus. How many lashes do you give for Makas Mardus? Again, the Ritva Ksubas Mem Hei Amud Beis cites four opinions. Number one, opinion number one: Ein la kitzva. There's no measure. You keep beating him until he stops. If he's going to continue to violate the rabbis, you can kill him over it. You can beat him up until he dies. Achetetze nafsho means until he accepts, achiyakavala love, until he accepts upon himself the words of the rabbis. But we will go as far as we need to go. Rashi as well. And the Aruch have this opinion. The Ritva brings, again, the first four opinions. So opinion number one, we will go as far as we need to go in order to stop this guy from violating this Din Derabanan. The Ritva brings the second opinion. It's also found in the Rambam, in the Perash HaMishnah to Meseches Nazir, in the fourth parak, that Beis Din evaluates how much can this guy handle. We're not going to kill him over it. If he can handle 100, give him 100. It's not bound by the 39 of the Torah. Give him as much as you need to give him. A third opinion, the Ritva quotes from Rabbeinu Meir HaLevi, that again, Beis Din evaluates, but it's never more than 39. It has to be less than 39. Makas Martis can't be more than Makas that the Torah gives you. So again, we assess him if he can handle, right, the full amount. So we give him maybe up to 39, but now certainly not going to give him more for this than we would give him for a regular case of Makas. And then the Ritva gives his own opinion, which is the final opinion the Ritva brings. He says it depends what type of Avera it is. If it's an Avera that's continuing, if the Avera is ongoing, so then we'll give him as much as we need. Achetetei nafsho. If the Avera is a limited, kind of one and done type of thing, so then we assess how much he can handle and we'll give him no more than 39. Okay? Those are four opinions. What's the fifth opinion? If you look in source 43, in the Shas and Tshuvas Be'er Sheva, Rabbi Sachar Dov Be'er Eilenberg, he wrote commentary on various Mesechtos of Shas, and in the back, I have a little paperback edition of it at home, in the back of the Shalos and Tshuvos. So in there, he writes two lines from the end, Matzati Kosa B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, Makas Mardis is Shlish Shalmalkus Teraisa. How much do you get for Makas Mardis? The fifth opinion? How many lashes?
Three times.
Third. 13. Very interesting. 13 lashes. Dainu Yurgimo Makos, V'im Kabbalah Hu Nikabel. If that's the tradition, then I'll accept it, says the Be'er Sheva, but never really heard about that. So again, five opinions in the Rishonim. How many lashes you get? Opinion number one, you give him as much as you need. Opinion number two, you assess him how much he can handle. You're not going to kill him over it, but you assess how much he can handle. You can give him more than 39. Opinion number three, you assess him, but it's not going to be more than 39. Opinion number four, the Ritva, depends on what type of Avera it is. If it's an ongoing Avera or an Avera that's going to end on its own, or maybe he's already done it, and it's over. And opinion number five, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by the Be'er Sheva, that you give him what? 13 lashes. Now, what's interesting is if you look at the Rambam, and we're not going to talk about it right now, just going to point it out, that the Rambam says what? Misha Ochel Matzah. So, in the Hagos Ramach, on the Rambam, in the Rabbeinu Manoach, in sources 41 and 42, they both discuss, do you really go Ad Chetetze Nafsho? You're going to kill him over it? And all the more so if it's Misha Ochel Matzah. It's not Misha Ochel Matzah. He already did it. What's done is done. So I'm going to keep beating him up. I'm going to kill him over it. Why would I kill him over something he did already? If he's still doing it, so I have to stop him. So I understand. Keep beating him until he stops. But if he already did it, so why am I beating him up so much? And this is something that Rabbeinu Manoach and Rabbi Moshe HaKohen Milunil are working on. Should we change the girsa to Ochel? Should we take out Achetetze Nafsho? Very, very strange. The Rambam's position seems very extreme. So I want to conclude this year now with the final two sources. Let's read together the Shemin Rosh on Chag HaPesach on page 281. You have it as a supplement page. But we need to make sense of the Rambam. The Mefarshim we're trying to figure out. It seems very extreme. We're so crazy about this matzah. We have good reason to be crazy about the matzah. V'godel kedushas achilas matzah, where the arrow is, yecholin lahavin masha amru chazal. We can understand how real and how important eating matzah is on Pesach itself, from the fact that Chazal say, "Ochel matzah v'er Pesach yilubah arsaso beis chamav." Quotes to Yerushalmi, he quotes to Levush, who had very strong mishonos, a person who has no self-control, he's shatuf bezima, he's a baltaiva, he's a person who's only in the marriage for the arayos, for the intimacy, right? He jumps the gun. Very strange. Still seems very extreme. So says the Shemin Rosh, two lines from the bottom. V'akati yesh lahav. Shelo matzinu b'shar mitzvah. We don't find this by any other mitzvah. Chevra, we're preparing ourselves now. Be ready. We don't find by any other mitzvah such a crazy lashonos. Shemakdin lito lulav olitko b'shofar. Turn the page. Kodem zmano. You blow shofar early. Oh, it's kabbalah or sasa. We don't find such a thing. You shake a lulav prematurely. You don't find such a thing. Why is there such an intense lashon? And the Rambam offers such a severe punishment for a person who violates this. Rabbosa, if you listen carefully, you'll come to the Seder differently this year. We don't find such a thing by any other eating. Why is Achilas Matzah so intense? I'll tell you the answer. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, Kuf Tzad Yivav. There's only one mitzvah d'oraisa that we have left that involves eating. Bizman Hazeh. The only mitzvah d'oraisa that we have, Bizman Hazeh. All the more so. All the more so, we can take this Yerushalmi to a new level. The Chassam Sofer says there's one mitzvah d'oraisa we have all year round that involves eating, and that's the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. Maror, derabanan. If you don't have Karan Pesach, Maror is only derabanan. Yeah. The only mitzvah d'oraisa that we have that involves eating Bizman Hazeh is matzah. And the Chassam Sofer is machazik us to eat a big shear of matzah, to really enjoy the matzah. Says the Shemin Rosh, Umizeh Nira. Look at this lashon. Internalize it. Da yichud va'advekus va'kesher shel adam beino lekono va'achilas matzah. He dugmas hazivuk. When a person eats the matzah, we have to speak in lashon nakia here because we're talking about a very delicate inyan. There's a bond that a person forms with the matzah that's as deep and as personal and as delicate and holy as the first time a chassan and kala spend the night together. That's the chibur, that's the attachment that takes place when a Jew allows the matzah to be absorbed within him. She'enis kashrus acheres dugmaso b'shar davar. It's mamash kishas zivuk. It has the same kedusha of the intimacy of a husband and a wife. Right? And maybe we now understand the ritva a little bit better. The ritva said the first mitzvah the Jews ever were given was achilas matzah. That's not true. Yeah, but the first time that we actually attached ourselves to Hashem, mamish, to become kibasar echad, ki'ilu. Again, I'm not even going to say it because I don't want to drag our minds into tuma. But just to be meramis to the fact that the Christians, right, have a minhag where they take a wafer and they eat the wafer, right? And it's all tumadic thing. I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want to dwell on that point. But that's a complete perversion of exactly this inyan. If such a thing exists in Toma, you know such a thing exists in Kedusha. Achilas Matzah is mamish becoming one kiviyachal with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kein hu ba'achilas ha-matzah. Shenasim eru damo v'nafsho. The matzah that you eat becomes absorbed in your flesh and blood. You're forming a bond. V'yu lebasar echad, the way that the Torah describes man and wife coming together. It's mamish kishas zivuk. And it makes so much sense. Because achila and tashmish and intimacy are so much connected. We know the whole inyan of Kedushas Peh and Kedushas Habris. This is the whole connection, right? Between the Dam Mila and the Dam Pesach. There's a chibur between Pesach, between a mouth that speaks and Bris Mila. This is the whole inyan of Mitzitza of a Peh. Again, I'm being ramis to a lot of things quickly, but think about the relationship between these two things. In Torah itself, when Potiphar says, I don't trust Yosef with what? With the bread that I eat. What does that mean, the bread that he eats? It's referring to his wife. Why are we referring to the interrelation between husband and wife as food that one consumes? Because there's a very strong link between the way that a person eats and the way that a person acts in the bedroom. There's a very strong bond. And therefore, this unique mitzvah d'oraisa of eating matzah is as holy and as pure and as delicate as, again, the zivug that takes place between chassan and kala. Harezeh b'dveikas shel ava oz v'atzuma imboro v'ashemos hakadoshos sheyesh ba'amatzah. It's mamish like the girl you're engaged to, and therefore we understand that a person who has relations with the girl he's engaged to prematurely, he in a sense has ruined the entire marriage. The kedusha, that special moment, has been totally undermined. And therefore the same thing is true about matzah. To come to the Seder in the right way, to eat it with a holy mouth, with a pure mouth, to guard our speech leading up to the Seder, as all the Svarim talk about, is a very, very big inyan. I want to end with the final source. And that is in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, Beis Avram, Beis Aaron. I really wanted to bring this Haggadah in to show it to you. If you've never seen it, it's very kedai to see this Haggadah. It was a handwritten Haggadah, written by a Jew by the name of Avram Aaron Friedman. He was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. But Pinchas Friedman, Shvili Pinchas, was a relative of this fellow. He was a Belzer Chassid. You have to see this Haggadah Shal Pesach. He wrote it, mamish, during the war. It's unbelievable. Now they retyped it and they printed it. But you can actually buy an edition of it, his handwritten version. And he mapped it out in such a way that it has like 8 different commentaries in it. Pshat, Remez, Drash, Sod. It's unbelievable. It's the artistic work that it is itself unbelievable. It's an amazing, amazing Haggadah, and very kedai. If you go to Beagle Eisen's, you should pick it up. So, in one of the sections, one of the many commentaries that are on the page, is called Marvelous Saper. And he tells the following story. Okay, take a look. You see where the arrow? We know you can't jump the gun. Even Sipur Yosef Mitzrayim has to be in the context of Matz and Mar in front of you. So he says, Shamati Shamaran Hagona Kadosh. Who? The Sar Shalom of Bells. Zuchus Yagin Alena, the first Bells of Rebbe. Zuchus Yagin Alena of Akol Yisrael. Holach Pam Achas Lishmoa Tachas Achalonos Malel Pesach. Heich Yisrael Usim Asetim. The Bells of Rebbe, like the Bnei Yisrael and many of the Tzaddikim, would go around on the Seder night and try to hear how regular Jews make the Seder, and to try to learn from their Seder. He was standing by the window of a simple Jew. What did he hear? Instead of saying, like the Haggadah actually says, at the time that the matzah and mar are what munachim lefanecha, placed before you, he said that you can only be mekayim this mitzvah when the matzah and mar are mechutanim. What's a mechutan? Right? The in-laws. Right? When the matzah and mar are mechutanim. The matzah and mar are mechutanim. There's a marriage taking place on the Seder night. And the Sar Shalom of Bells came back and he was smiling. Oh, what a holy mistake. That the matzah mar mechutanim lefanecha. And he went on and explained this chassidim with the mashal. It's late, I'm just going to tell you the mashal outside. He said, imagine a rich fellow who's trying to marry off his daughter. And he finds a chassan. And this guy, he's mamish, the sweetest guy. He's a real Talmud Chacham. And he's a handsome fellow. And he's a Baal Midos Tovos. The only problem is he's poor as dirt. The guy doesn't have a penny to his name. He says, the rich guy says, I don't care. I want this guy for my daughter. So he says, let's make a shidduch. Now the practice is, by the shidduch, you have what? You have a little suda to celebrate the actual terayim, right? The engagement. Even go to the erison. This poor guy says, the chassan usually makes the meal. He says, I got nothing. I have a piece of crusty bread. We can't make a meal. We can't have terayim like this. The father says, the father of the rich girl says, I don't care. I want my daughter to get engaged to you so badly. I don't care. So they go and they make a meal and they bring out some crusty bread and it's a beautiful simcha. Now, the rich father-in-law is prepared to do everything for this son-in-law, support him financially, taking him literally out of the garbage heaps to marry him off to a princess. But he doesn't want him to forget where he comes from. So what did he do? He took, by that celebration, he snuck into the chassan's room and he took one of his old rags, the clothing that he used to wear. And he wanted to hold on to it, that in case his son-in-law ever gets a little haughty, he'll take out this garment and he'll put it on the table to remind his son-in-law where he comes from. The father of the son, the poor father of this poor son, took a little piece of the crusty bread. And he said, I'm holding on to something awesome. Because in case you ever try to remind me, and remind my son, look where you come from, I'm going to remind you that look, you were prepared to take, my son, you saw how special my son was, you were prepared to have a suda over crusty bread in order to formalize the marriage. So says the Belzer Rebbe. That's what the matzah umar muchutanim lefanecha represents. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says matzah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says maror. Remind yourself where you are. Remember what I did for you. Remember I took you out of the garbage heaps, the dumps that you were in. And we say back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't forget the matzah. Look how we were. Lech lech achar b'midbar. Be'erith lo zeruah. We ran out of Mitzrayim with unbaked bread. Because Hashem, you loved us so much, you wanted to take us out right away. So Hashem says, you need to remain humble. We say Hashem, but you have to remember also how much you love us. And that's what the matzah represents. That love that's felt between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's mamish a wedding. The mechutanim. The in-laws are coming, they're making a chasana, the matzah and the marah, right? A Jew and Hashem. Whoever you want to say the chasana is and the kala is, whether it's man is the chasana and the matzah is the kala, or Hashem is the chasana and Klal Yisrael is the kala. However you want to put it together. I think we understand in a much deeper way now what this Yerushalmi means. That a person who chas v'shalom doesn't understand the kedusha of the Erev Tov L'Matzos misses the whole point. So Mirza Shem, we should be zochet v'mekayim, that we should be able to eat the matzah. Like the Torah says, b'makom kadosh. And the Tiferet Shlomo of Radam says, b'makom kadosh, eat the matzah in a holy place, your mouth is the holy place. That is the holy place. We should get ourselves ready to eat the matzah, the kedusha, the tara, and the mirat Hashem. It'll be as pleasurable, it'll be as enjoyable, it'll be as special and precious in our eyes as the mirat Hashem, those moments that a chassan and kala spent together the first time on the night of the wedding. Shkoyim.